want you to hang in there. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio, beating the drums of freedom and perseverance. We shall continue to be a smart, energetic, thriving group of individuals that will overcome the most difficulty of times. I'm not trying to say that we are not responsible for our own foolishness, but saying that when a people is oppressed, God always has a way of stepping in and cleaning things up. Let's pray that God may be with us as a group of individuals living in this country that seems to be falling on hard times. I was having everything is going to be all right. Yeah. Be all right. I believe that. I believe that everything will be all right eventually. But I was having a talk with Mario this morning, and, you know, he made a pretty good point. He said, you know, you don't hear too many people giving props for young people today. Well, I just thought that I'd go to the Bible and see what I could find to correct that error. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, check it out. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Do you know what that's saying? Man, that is saying that it is a blessing to have children. Then the psalmist goes on and says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. My goodness, aiming straight, hitting the target, potential. And then, what is the response of the person that has children? It says in verse 5, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. In other words, if you got a house full of kids, you should be a happy person. I mean, it's just wonderful. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Ah, yeah. You know what? This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's take a deeper look at this. And, you know, happy is a man whose quiver is full of them, and they shall not be ashamed. Such children will be able to stop their adversaries' mouths when their godly life is maliciously accused before the judges. Now, you may be saying, well, this ain't coming out of the black community. What do we see our children? When you look at world star hip hop, that is the significance of what our children have become. No, you have to speak for yourself. Not really. I'm going to tell you, the African-American community is so large in this country. And I want to say this. I'm not talking about the hypocritical Christian community that, you know, smiles in somebody else's face, but won't take care of other people. You know, you just read through the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and God tells the rich Israelites how to take care of the poor ones. It was interesting. I was in the car with a brother, and he was listening to the Bible on CD, and he was listening to, I believe, Deuteronomy 14 and 15. And in those chapters, it was saying that, you know, you should look out and take care of your, as a matter of fact, let me go there right now. Let me go to Deuteronomy. I'm thinking, I heard him talking about Deuteronomy 14 when I look at that. When he's giving these recommendations of how they are to live, you know, how the Israelites are to live. Let me start at verse 23. It says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place that he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and of the firstlings of the herds of the flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And look what it says in verse 24. Very interesting verses start here. And if the way be too long for thee, and you are not able to carry it, or if the place to be far from thee, which the Lord your God should choose to set his name there, when the Lord your God bless thee, then you shall turn it into money and bind upon the money in thine hand, and you shall go into the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and you shall bestow that money, for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. The oxen, the sheep, the wine, or the strong drink, or the whatsoever your soul desires, thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in thy household. Now look at this. This is wonderful. Now look at this. And the Levite that is within the gates, thou shalt not forsake him. Now here's a very interesting verse. It's talking about the Israelite that God is blessed. God is saying everything that he's given you, the drink, the strong drink, everything. We're just not to abuse these things, but we're to take those things and to receive them. And look at that. And the Levite, verse 27, and the Levite that is within the gates, thou shalt not forsake him. You know what the Levite was? The Levite was the tribe in Israel that took care of the ministering the things of God to the people. The Levites were not supposed to have a regular job like the regular people, because their job was to stay in the Word of God basically 24 hours a day and to keep the people out of harm's way. I found that interesting because that's what I found myself doing yesterday. I had three brothers come by and visit me in my home yesterday. We had a great time. We had a great time and I was just sharing with them. Now look at this, verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all of the tithe and thine increase the same year, and you shall lay it up within thy gates. And look at verse 29. See, this is the way God has it set up. He says, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, thou shalt come, thou shalt eat, and be satisfied that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand, which thou doest. Now let's start off with the next chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 15. And in this manner of the release, every creditor that lendeth unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Now, let's do some research into this and see exactly what he's talking about. Okay, the debtor who without his fault is poor. In other words, when you run into a poor man and they are really not able to pay, what the writer is saying is that they should not be in prison. What do we do when somebody owes us something? Especially if they lose their job, lose their home, and they don't have enough money to make it. First thing that we want to do is we want to bring pain on them until they pay us what's ours. Here in the Bible, it says they shall not be in prison nor disabled from making efforts, nor should payment be enforced until he is, okay, by a suitable means, may be able to meet it. See, God has always provided a way for his children to take care of their debts. And I think that if we go back to the biblical ways of doing things, all right, let me look at John Wesley's commentary on this. Every creditor, here is a law for the poor, the insolvent debtors. Okay? He says, every seventh year was the year of release. Now, that doesn't mean the year to get off the hook. It was a year of release set up in Judaism, and so that they would be able to help the poor people in their society. We got a lot of poor people in our society, right? And we live in a very rich society here. America has been very blessed by that. But look at this. When amongst other acts of grace, there was one that every Israelite who had borrowed money and had not been able to pay it before should on this seventh year be released from that debt. Now, if we were a godly nation and stuff like that and follow God's, don't you know that it would be beautiful if all that debt would be released? Think about the young college student going to college, trying to get a job and everything, and trying to pay off the loan and everything, and he can't pay. Why don't he just, after the seventh year and it's rough, why don't the people that put all this stuff together, you already got your buildings and all this stuff, just cut the debt out. That's what God is saying. And it says in this verse that if he was able, that he was bound in his conscience to pay it afterwards, yet it could not be recovered by the law. In other words, if he was able to do it, the Israeli that knew that he owed that indebtment was bound in his conscience to take care of that debt that he had to get rid of. Now his brother, this is added to the limit of the word neighbor, which was is more general unto a brother. We're talking about a nation, a religion, or an Israelite. The Lord's release, or the release of the Lord in obedience to his command, is for God's honor and an acknowledgement of his right in our estates. In other words, God has some kind of rule over this. Everything that God has given us is not ours, but it is to be shared with others. Listen to me, those of you that listen to my webcast, and you may wonder, why do I help young men? Why do I love them so much? This is a biblical principle here. It is a biblical principle that I've been knowing for years, all of my life. I've always done it. When my mentor died, and I was a pastor of the church, I took a portion of my income to make her life better. Why did I do that? I didn't have to do that. I did have to do that because the Bible, why would people give all the money and I would get the money? I'm supposed to be the dispenser of the money to help the widows. I was following an Old Testament enactment. Now, look what it says in verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 15. It says, of a foreigner thou may accept, exact it again. But that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. In other words, if you find a brother, let's say I was dealing with an African-American and the African-American brother was having a hard time. And I'm a lover of God, really following God the way y'all need to listen to me and get all this European stuff out of your head. See, because what we do when you say, brother, can you help me out of this dilemma that I'm in? And You need the brother to help you. And then if the brother help you, you charging him interest that he can't pay back. And then what you do is you put a levy against what he got in the bank, what he's trying to make his life. And you make him poorer than Job's turkey, if you want to put it that way. We cannot do that. Now, of a stranger, somebody that's not connected to you, of course you got a right to get your money. But not from somebody that's living with you. You know, why do we shoot each other? Why do we cut each other down? Why do our young men hate another black man so much? Why not look at that brother and love him? Look what it says in verse 4. Save when there is, when there shall be no poor amongst you. Save when there is no poor amongst you. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Okay. And to the end of that, that there would be no poor amongst you. That's how you get rid of it. You live to help the poor. We in this country have forbidden the poor. We've turned our back on the poor. That's why God is turning his back on us. We cannot turn our backs on the poor. And I'm not talking about taking from the one percenter and give it to the 99% that's sitting on their butt and won't do anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the simple law of being grateful for what you have and helping out somebody else. Now look what it says in verse 5. Only if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all the commandments which I command thee this day. Verse 6. For the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt not reign over many nations, but that, but they shall not reign over thee. See, in other words, God is saying, this is a beautiful thing that we're looking at here. Because once we look at that, you know, when we're talking about the lending aspect, you have to look at Psalm 37:21, where it says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Did you see what that says? Let me give you another one. All right, that would be Deuteronomy No, Psalms 112, verse 5 says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. See, that's what we have to come back to in this country. Instead of us coming up with some selfish, ungrateful disposition. Look at verse 7. If there be amongst you a poor man, one of the brethren, which is in thy gates, in the land the Lord thy God shall give it thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shalt thine hand nor shut thy hand, that is, from the poor brother. In other words, why would your heart get hard? When you see a brother out there, and I'm not talking about the guy that's standing out there with a sign talking about feed me, I'm hungry, and he's there 365 days of the year at the freeway off-ramp because he wears the same clothes and he's looking the same kind of way. There's a couple of guys on the west side here in Los Angeles that does that. And man, just on the part of town where he's panhandling at that particular freeway off-ramp, if 50 cars that exited that place gave him $5, he could pay the rent on the west side. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that is really, and I'm talking about if I was out there and if I were hungry, I would just tell somebody, look, I'm hungry. Look what the Bible says. Now look at verse 8. Look at verse 8, Deuteronomy 15. Those of you that's opening up your Bibles. See, you can talk about everybody else. Oh, well, hey, I have to pay my taxes again for this year, and I'm still paying from last year. I haven't paid that off. And the 15th is the deadline. I'm not going to make it. I'm telling you right now. Look what it says in verse 8. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him. That is to the poor brother that ain't got nothing. This is what the Bible says. Open your hand wide to him, and you shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now, for those of you that don't think that means that literally, you out of your mind. This is talking about benevolence, okay? Benevolence should be in proportion to the distress that the person is in. If the person is impoverished, if he doesn't have the ability to make anything, let's say that he even breaks a leg and he can't get his leg fixed. Somebody needs to pay for it. Thou shalt have no other rule to regulate your charity towards that other person. This is the biblical thing. This is what America was built on. This is when every Sunday everybody got up and went to church. And then when the pastor said, you know, the guy that lived in the little house down at the corner there that his mother left to him, right, well, he ain't got no way and he's kind of ill right now. We're going to take up an offering and put him in the old folks' home and so that he'll be taken care of. Did you know that the local congregation did that? They would take that man and put him in the old folks' home so he have clean sheets and soup to eat every night and everything. And if he died, the church buried him. That's the way we used to do it. We used to do it that. Now we've become a selfish, selfish nation. Verse 8 is man, open thy hands wide. This is deal bountifully and liberally with him. And I'm not talking about being a socialist. I'm not talking about changing the American system into a communist system. I'm just talking about Christian love, just to love somebody like that. Now let's keep looking. Look at verse 9. It says, beware that you be not thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye of evil is against that poor brother. And I'm not going to give him anything. And he shall cry unto the Lord and to thee, and he shall be a sin unto thee. Do you know what this is saying? These are some powerful words. When it says, beware and be not thought of the wicked, it says, don't be having Belial. Don't be having a Belial heart. In other words, a good-for-nothing, unprofitable heart, stingy. You stingy as a Bessie bug here. And then it says, in that thine eye be evil. You know what that means? The eye signifies covetous disposition. See, we don't want to give nobody nothing because we are covetous about that. We don't want to give our money up. We don't want to give up no space. We don't see. Listen to those of you that listen to me. Listen, this problem in our country would be done away with if you would all look out there and love other people and help them, for goodness sake. Listen, if I were pastoring a good-sized church, that's what I would tell. I said, why are we all coming here in these nice, pretty cars that we're driving in? Why are we all dressed up like we're getting ready to attend our own funeral? Why are we spending all this money for our wives' dresses and our children's clothes on Easter Sunday? Because you know how we do. We got to dress them up, and we got poor people all around us. Why is it we invite our family by for dinner, but we don't invite nobody else by? Especially the poor and everything else, because God says in verse 9, you have thine eye is evil. In other words, an evil eye signifies a covetous disposition. The same expression is used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, where Jesus says, but if your eye is evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in there be darkness, how great that darkness. Jesus says, don't be coming before him talking about I love Jesus, and you see somebody out there in your community, in your black community or your white community or your Hispanic community that ain't got no food in their system, fresh water, they're hurting. Wait a minute. I had a brother come by here just for me to hug him. All right. Can I get real with it? He said, John, I don't care what nobody think about you. I need you to latch on to me, hug me, and feel the love. You know what that brother did today? Called me up and said, I still feel you holding me. And that brother told me, man, there ain't nobody in my house making me feel like that. Why that brother got to come all the way? Because the church has failed. The church has failed. I'm telling you, you failed flat out. That's why God is turning his back on this godforsaken country. Don't nobody love. Listen, some of you listening to me need to get off your high horse and open your. Well, let me shut up. Let me keep reading this. If thy eye be evil, if thou be a covetous person, an evil eye is by our Lord opposed to a single eye. In other words, a person of a liberal, benevolent mind is different from the covetousness of the darkened soul. Liberality and benevolence enlightens your soul. And then it says in the end of verse 9, it says, and he cries unto the Lord against thee. In other words, what a consolation to the poor person and to the oppressed that they can have a sure friend in God. But they're crying out to God for the people that has the means to give up some of those means for the people that don't have. Now, you know what? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. When we're protesting against all the money that the rich people have, we're out there protesting without God. We're not holding up these Bible verses. We're not saying, look at what the Bible verse says about us helping poor people. If you looked at these Bible verses and put them into practice, we wouldn't have all this Trayvon Martin race hatred going on around here. But I know how it is. Because, see, we didn't lock God out of everything. Now, let's keep looking at this. Verse 10. This is beautiful. We're in Deuteronomy 15, verse 10. It says, thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto them. I like this verse. God is saying, you will help them. You will not charge them rent. You will feed them. You will take care of them. And you will not be grieved by doing that. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
Pastor John, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Now, I got a question since I'm doing a webcast right now. All right? And you're going to answer it for me, right, Alphonse? Of course you are.
Right.
Alphonse, you're walking down the street, eating on a hamburger, and you see a man that is very hungry. And he comes up to you and says, sir, that hamburger looks so good. And he says, I wonder if I could have a piece of that hamburger, what would be your response to that man? Tell the truth.
I would give him the whole hamburger.
There it is. You would give it to him because you would see that he's hungry, right?
Yes.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that. Because, wow.
Yeah.
I'm emotional on that question.
Yes. It's an emotional question. Yes, it is.
I would believe him.
Yes.
Wow.
I was just reading a verse, Alphonse.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the poor person that we come in contact with. And he says, thou shalt surely give him. And it says, and thine heart shall not be grieved when you give unto him. And then the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10 says, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest in thy hand to do. In other words, if you would give him the whole thing, that God will, man, just... Now, Alphonse, think if this entire country have that disposition to helping other people that are down and out. Just think about how beautiful America would be if we got rid of our selfishness, man, and we just arbitrarily gave it up to the other person.
Well, everybody has to overcome the one-upmanship of the assumption that every other man is practicing one-upmanship, and that will come about because everyone will be being sincere.
Yes, but you see, you can't have a sincere heart when you have a selfish heart, and you've been, and I believe, Alphonse, that the church has been heaping selfishness up on themselves, and they show that selfishness, how easy it is for them to deny the other person. See,
yes.
I'm talking about, you know, solving America's situation. We are citizens together. We are so enamored with this Trayvon Martin case and this Zimmerman case with the Hispanics coming across the border with the marijuana trade, with the abortion clinics. We're so enamored with the political scenes and everything that's going on, but we do not find ourselves living as we ought to live with our fellow citizens by helping them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call. You've helped me out in this webcast.
Thanks. Bible study tonight?
Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock.
I'll be there. That's what I call you for.
All right, my brother. God bless you.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's just, you know, that's the way PJ do it. You know, I don't put nothing together. I don't tell people to call me. When they call this office, they know that they're subject to be on a webcast somewhere. And then I'm going to ask them a question right out the blue. See, that's what a pastor does. The pastor, people that come to my Bible say, wait a minute, you see somebody and he's up there needy and he's hungry. And this was interesting because Mario just left to, you know, walk to catch a bus to go to work. And he heard me doing this webcast. Because he and I were having a conversation, and he was saying, Pastor John, somebody needs to help these young people because we don't have anything. We got school loans to pay off. We worried about that. We want to do things right. They won't give us jobs. We working for peanuts basically to survive. Now, he's getting peanuts to basically survive. Now, what would I look like? Now, wait a minute. What would I look like? Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you guys this question. What would I look like charging this young man rent to stay with me? He's willing to pay because he told me anytime you want, you can put me out because he's trying to save his money to do something. And I'm trying to help him save his money. I don't need his money. I'll teach him how to be a man to take care of his responsibility. I know that, fool. I didn't need you to tell me that. Don't come at me with that way, you stingy braggart. I'm reading God's word here, and I expect you to look at this. And look at verse 11. Look at verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 15. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Now, you know where that comes from because you heard Jesus say that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 11. He says, for ye shall have the poor always with you, but me you shall not have always. See, Jesus said you're going to have poor people with you all the time. All the time poor people are going to be here. So now we find that in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 15 and 11, and we find it in Matthew 26, 11. We find it in Mark chapter 14, verse 7. We find this in John chapter 12, verse 8. That says, for the poor always you have with you. See, Jesus knew that. Now let's talk about that. He says, now in verse 11, the poor you shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy in thy land. Now, you shut up, fussing. You shut up, you stingy butt Christian. I'm tired of you. This holiday is coming up. You're going to spend some money here. You're going to buy new clothes. Don't need a new nothing. New shoes. Don't need another pair of shoes. Nothing. But you know that woman down the end of the block is struggling. Don't you? All of you on the block. All of you when you... Oh, honey, what are we going to dress the kids in for Easter Sunday? You hypocrites. It's not no time for that mess. And you pastors that spread this bullcrap lie, I'm sick of you. Oh, I know you don't like this kind of language. Well, you don't even like the word of God. Look, let me share something with you. I just want to share with you what the Bible says. It said God leaves us in the midst of the poor and so that we can exercise feelings of compassion, tenderness, and mercy towards them. And without these occasions afforded us to exercise these, man will soon become like a stoic and a brute. And that's what's happened to America. We don't think that way anymore, so we become brutes. All we thinking about is, oh, look at that woman and her nasty butt children. Always snot running down their face, looking all bad, diapers all dirty. She ain't got no money to buy no more Pampers. She got the kids wrapped in whatever. It's a hard thing out there. Don't you know she cries at night? She don't know what to do. Have you ever heard the newscast about these people just killing their babies and killing themselves and everything? Have you seen the pictures of the mothers that do horrible things to their children? And what is the first thing we do? How could that woman, that is the most disgusting. Did you try to help her? You damnable hypocrite. You didn't try to help her. Yeah, you go to church looking all, hey, wait. See the way you jump in that car? You see the way you spend that time washing that car on Saturday? Detailing it up? She be walking down the street with a little snot-nosed children. And what you say, get those children off my lawn. Oh, full of arrogance and pride. I know how it is. I know how it is. I know how it is. God suffers the poor always amongst us. And that compassion needs to be cultivated by us exercising this compassion whenever we have the opportunity to show whether or not we are disposed to assist them. And thus to imitate our Father in heaven. You talking about what am I talking? I know because they don't preach like this to you. They too busy giving you word face bull crap. Told you to stop listening to these people like Fred Price, Creflo Dollar, and T.D. Jakes. These fools don't know how to preach. These fools don't know how to take a scripture and give you anything. You know what it says in Matthew 5:48? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That means complete. Giving up everything that you need to give up. That is what God has called us to do. Oh, my friends, verse 11 is a powerful, powerful verse. If you would only look at the verse and let it speak to you. The poor will never cease in our land. God, by his providence, will so order that. There will always be poor people. We should not be offended by people on assistance need assistance. Our government has always helped poor people. Now, wait a minute. I'm not making a political ploy to you because I know that when the Republicans get in there, they say, hey, man, let these people help themselves. Yeah, that's all well and good and everything. But you know what? Some people, man, just come on, man. Y'all remember Katrina? remember, it was the poor people that couldn't get out of that city. It was the poor people that was trapped there. It was the poor people that, man, the bus didn't come in that part of town to get them, and they found their bodies in that place. A shame to our nation. Ashamed. Why do you think that movie star got him a boat and went down there and just started giving out fresh water? Because in his heart, he says, I'm setting up here with all this money, all this stuff around me, and I'm looking at this bull crap on the news. And he got up with the heart of compassion and went down there and just started giving water to the people. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you? I'm sick of you Christians. You Christians are the ones that are the hypocrites. And I'm not saying all of you, because some of you got good people and you're really trying. But darn it, don't be spending all your money on yourself and everything. Think about the poor out there. There are poor people out there that needs to be helped in our country. Oh yeah, we would love to send hundreds of thousands of dollars to other countries around the world. Man, help us out here. Man, these teenagers afraid to walk down the street in the city, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Detroit. Come on. Washington, D.C., our babies, afraid to walk down the street because other babies, man, walk to school with your babies, man. Oh, my God, have we lost our minds? This is America. This is America. And please don't talk to me about racism, because you got foolish race hate in your damn heart. I'm sick of you. Don't be talking about nobody else and you won't help no poor people around you. You hypocrites. I'm sorry, but I just got to get down on your case. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Isn't it wonderful? And it says, and if thy brother, an Hebrew man, or an Hebrew woman. Now let me change this, because see, I'm black and I live in a hood and I love living here. You may be white living in a hood where you are. You may be Chinese living in the hood. You may be a Mexican living in the hood. You may be an Asian living in the hood. You may be a Polynesian living in the hood. You may be South African. Amen. You may be Ghanaian. All right. You may be a Frenchman. Wherever you are living in the hood. Let's read the verse within its context. All right. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man, just put in what you are, or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. I want to know why didn't the white people that had slaves in this country that call themselves Christians abide by this? Hey, because it was an economic thing. We need these black folk to build this country up, just like we use the Chinese and the poor whites to build the railroads across this country. Oh, yeah. You heard that. Now, see, you said, what's this set them free? Well, see, you got to understand what was going on. You got to understand what they was talking about. This is a repetition of the law that had been given to the Hebrews concerning servants that sold themselves for servants. Well, some of us have sold ourselves, haven't we? I've sold myself, and I'm paying off credit cards. I'm a servant to that. Now, wouldn't it be great if I paid all my bills and things got so rough that they just said, okay, seventh year you've been paying on time, we're going to erase the debt. Do you know what that would do for this country? That would bind us together like, oh, my God. If all the people made profit that they could, and then I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set the debt free because of God and his liberality in our hearts and in our country. Do you ever think we'll be able to come back to that? When Alphonse called and I said, if he asked for a piece of that burger, Alphonse said, I'd give him the whole thing. Alphonse said, I'd give him the whole thing. What's the matter with you? Because he knew he can go back, even if he couldn't go back and get another one. If the man was hungry and he saw that the man was hungry, and you saw what that did to Alphonse, it touched him deep down in his heart. And then he just said, I just called to find out what time Bible study was. I want to come and get some more of this. How many of you go to Bible study? How many of you would call your pastor and say, are we having Bible study tonight? Because, you know, they know sometimes I get depressed. I get ill. I'm still working on this ceiling thing. It's taking time, you know, insurance and all. But, wow. I like that. I like reading this. And well, why? Let's go down to verse 15 and we can see why. Because I'm bringing this to an end. And thou shalt remember that thou was, see, you got to look back. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. In other words, God says, remember I brought you up out of it. Now you're going to bring somebody else up out of it. See, that's what I love about America. Because I remember when me and my family was dirt poor, some folk gave me an opportunity. Why can't I give it? See, once you X the Bible out of everything in your life, and I'm just giving it to you in plain, simple, and in the raw. But once you X the Bible out of your life and stop listening to these liberals that say, oh, and there ain't no God, there ain't no Jesus, there ain't no. No, those are the fools that are swept up into this mess back and forth. And every time somebody gets shot, they say, oh, how could that happen? Because you wiped God out. You tried to X him out. I went to see that movie, Food Games or Food Wars or whatever that mess was. And the idea that they're trying to put forth. It's just stupidity, I'm telling you. Just plain stupidity. I do not believe in stupidity. I just don't. But that is why God does what he does. He has a system of law set up to take care of the people that need it. Well, I think I'll end up right there. I think that I've said enough and I've given you enough food to think about for the next couple of days. I'm sorry that I haven't been doing the webcast like I should. Today I'm going to try to finish up all this stuff and get some work done here in the office. And all right, brothers. Take it easy, brothers. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. Pastor John in Los Angeles, just reading his Bible. And I'm asking you to hold on just a little while longer.